Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone today to our service of morning prayer. And in our service today, we're thinking about the idea of God making his home in our hearts. That's the theme of our service today. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. You'll have seen some of them on the way in, but just a few that aren't maybe mentioned there. The confirmation class takes place this evening in the coffee bar at 5 o'clock for those preparing for confirmation. And tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, members of the BB are asked to assemble at Pirate Golf in Dundonald for a special outing at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. On Wednesday afternoon, the Ladies Afternoon Friendship Group are meeting at 2 o'clock for a special afternoon tea. I understand there might be a couple of special guests coming, but that's at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Thursday is Pilates at 7 and prayer meeting over Zoom. On Wednesday is Pilates and Thursday is the prayer meeting over Zoom. And on Saturday morning between 9 and 11, we're having another work party here on the grounds, which we do on the last Saturday of every month. And if you're free between 9 and 11, we'd be really grateful for your help. Also going to make a request. I don't know if anybody might have in their attic or maybe lying around the house that they're not using. If anybody has a car seat for a baby, maybe you could speak to me at the end of the service. We hope to be able to use it when our visitors arrive from Ukraine, hopefully in the near future. Our service is next Sunday, our morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7. And as we join together in worship, we're going to stand to sing, Christ is Alive. Our service today, the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve You in newness of life, to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a psalm of praise, and we're going to say together the words of Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us.
May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine on us, so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to be seated for our first reading. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Joel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 21. Be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green, the trees are bearing their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. This is the word of the Lord. As we respond to that first reading, our children and young people are going to leave during the singing of this hymn for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together the hymn, God of Mercy, God of Grace. If you'd like to be seated for our New Testament reading. The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the 14th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." This is the word of the Lord. We're coming into a season in the church's year when very often the church starts to think about God's call on people's lives, the whole idea of vocation. And so we're going to see a little video now that's been prepared by the Reverend Karen Salmon. Many people will remember Karen, who used to come here when she was a missionary in Ethiopia for many years. But now Karen is the rector of Maharali. She's one of the diocesan director of Ordinans, and she is going to share a little bit about the idea of God's call upon our lives.
Good morning. Next week is Vocation Sunday. And before you all switch off and think, well, that has got nothing to do with me, I want to really assure you that it very much does. Vocation is all about using the gifts and the skills that God has given to all of his people. And he gives those gifts to build up his church, to build the kingdom. And so I want to encourage you just today to get ready for that, to open your heart to God speaking to you through whatever your minister does in church next week, but also maybe if you get to see Simon's sermon on vocation, I would really encourage you to think about that seriously for yourself. If you've got a love for kids, then perhaps God wants you to use that and whatever skills he's given you to serve in children's ministry. Maybe you have a really good way of getting alongside young people that you can easily relate to them, and it may be that God is asking you to jump into youth ministry. Or maybe you just love Jesus and want to talk about him so much, and he has given you that heart of an evangelist. I know George Neal, I know Andrew Brannigan would love to chat to you about that, and your ministers are going to want to talk to you about the kids and youth stuff. But then there's upfront stuff, maybe a bit less background, a bit less one-on-one or small group. Parish reader is one option, lay reader is another, and God may have called you to a very particular vocation that you have. That he has laid in your heart and you're not ready to give that up, but he has also given you a passion to lead his people in worship. And so I would encourage you to think about being a parish reader or even a diocesan reader and hop around churches in the diocese to support ministry there. It's very much about building up God's kingdom, that whole vocation thing. It's not just about us having a good time on a Sunday and getting what we want. My last wee thought is about ordained ministry. You may have the heart of a pioneer. You may see yourself as a church planter. And we would love to chat with you about OLM ministry. Or there is, of course, ordained ministry, which is often the very heart of what we do on Vocation Sunday. I work alongside Simon Janot as a director of ordinance in Down and Dromore. And we would love to chat with you if you want to talk with us about what God has been putting on your heart in terms of leading his people. If you have a passion for his word, if you have a desire to get alongside and listen, if people maybe often come to you to talk about stuff, that may be a sign that God is calling you to ordained ministry, either as an OLM or as a stipendary minister in this church. So please, next week, think about vocation. Get ready to talk to God about it, and please open your heart to hear from him. Thank you.
So next week we will be hearing from the Reverend Simon Janot, who is Karen's colleague, and he's going to be sharing a message about that idea of God's call upon our lives. And if it is something that is on your mind or your heart, and again, as Karen said, it's just about maybe thinking about those things that naturally you are good at, and maybe there are different age groups that you like to work with, don't be hesitant about having a chat with me or Andy about that sometime, and we'd love to have a chat with you and to explore that idea a little bit further. We're going to stand together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special prayer for today, the sixth Sunday of Easter. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us, he may raise us to eternal joy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to think about the gift of God's Holy Spirit in our next hymn as we sing together, O Thou Who Camest From Above.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes you hear a story told and it stops you in your tracks. It changes the way you think. It might even change the course of your life. And maybe that story exposes you to a reality or a way of life that you weren't aware of before, and it prompts you to begin a journey of change. Last Thursday evening, I sat in a church in Belfast city centre, surrounded by people who work with refugees and asylum seekers. And it was amazing to hear what different agencies and organisations were doing. Many of those people who were assembled and who were speaking represented churches and parachurch organisations. And they were doing things like running drop-in centres for people to come together and to have a chat in a safe and supportive environment. Some were running sports programmes to help with people's physical and mental well-being. Others had set up classes to teach people English or to teach the life skills involved in moving to a new culture and a new land, things like opening bank accounts or preparing a CV. But perhaps the story that moved me most came at the very end of the evening, when a young woman stood up and shared her experience of coming to this country with two of her daughters and having to leave two of her other daughters back in Syria during the conflict. And she spoke about what it was like to live in a hotel room where you feel afraid to leave the hotel for fear of verbal and even physical abuse. And she spoke about the strict rules in such an environment where people were not allowed to bring food to their own rooms or to cook familiar things, but instead they were at the mercy of what was produced in bulk on a particular day. She spoke about what it was like when your children are not able to access the education system and have to spend much of the day in hotel corridors, with the only diversion being those largely unappetizing meals that were offered in a large communal dining room. She spoke about the mental health problems that she and her family had experienced with post-traumatic stress disorder, and how it broke her heart when she had saved enough money from her £36 per week weekly allowance to be able to phone home and to hear from her other daughters in Syria. And as this woman unveiled this world to all of us who were present, she spoke about the transformative effects of little acts of kindness. She spoke about the trauma of being shifted around at very short notice from one hotel to another, maybe from one town to another. But she also spoke of how people here in Northern Ireland had sometimes reached out and learned her name. They'd maybe greeted her or given her a platform to share her experience. Perhaps an agency had come into the hotel and taught some English lessons, or maybe a local church had opened its halls and offered a cup of tea. And for those few hours, the world seemed a bit more normal again. And it was harrowing to hear such a story in what many people consider to be one of the most civilized and friendly cultures in the world. And it brought to mind a program that I had seen on TV earlier that week with a very contrasting experience of being relocated. It was a program all about a house restoration. And as the works were taking longer to complete than expected, this family had bought a mobile home in order to reduce their rental costs. And they lived on site where the building project was taking place. The mum of the house was a very creative lady, and she had decorated this tiny mobile home for Christmas. And even though the conditions were squashed and they were cramped and they were essentially living on a building site, it was home. The children had their teddy bears. An internet connection meant that they could play on their PlayStation. And this experience of living in more cramped conditions was sold to them by their parents as being a big adventure before they all eventually moved into this sumptuous and gloriously restored property that was spacious and beautiful. It was a very different experience to the one that I heard of from this lady and her family living in a hotel. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says something extraordinary. And if we open our hearts to hear it, what it says in speaking about loving him and being obedient to his teaching, Jesus says, wherever people embark on this way of life, he will come with his heavenly Father and he will make his home with us. And I find that a really powerful and comforting image when I'm confronted with the awfulness of the plight of refugees and asylum seekers. The God who created heaven and earth wants to come and to make his home with us and in us. Are we tuned into God? Jesus wants to know. Do we want to be obedient to him? Do we want to hear his teaching, even if it impinges upon our systems and routines? Or would we rather close our ears if it brings before us painful realities? And what if we feel afraid or we feel overwhelmed at the idea of being obedient to God or hearing his call upon our lives as Karen was encouraging us to be open to do? Jesus goes on in this passage that we heard this morning to talk about a resource that's available to you and to me and to all people who consider themselves to be people of faith. And as Jesus speaks about this resource, it's a gift. It's a gift that he freely offers for people who want to be obedient and who want to follow his teaching. And this gift is called the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. The one who walks alongside us. It is, if we're to try and explain it, it's the Spirit of Jesus who, when faced with seemingly impossible situations, says, whenever we work together, we can make a miracle happen. We can transform society. We can be a people of hope. We can bring light into the dark places. We might not know how, we might not know how long it takes. We might never see it happen in our own lifetime. But Jesus says, all I'm asking is that you take the next step. It might go completely wrong. You might make mistakes. People might misunderstand what you're trying to do. But let me make my home with you. Let me come and dwell within you. And let's see what is possible when you work together with other people of faith. And that's what it will always be. It'll always be a journey of faith. And so when we think about that video which we saw a few moments ago about considering God's call upon your life, and we'll be thinking more about that next week, it's like we all have to explore what that might actually mean in our lives. Is it about using our skills with finances? Is it about using our skills with technology? Is it about our natural gift of hospitality, or our ability to teach or to befriend people who are simply looking for a friend? Is it about connecting with younger people or with older people or with those who have never really had many opportunities? Is it about trying things that we've never tried before just to see if we can make a difference? Let's open our hearts today so that they can be a place where Jesus can find a home. And let's draw upon that wonderful free gift of his Holy Spirit to enable us to do what he wants us to be and to do, and to be his people in the world. Let us pray. Lord, today we thank you for your willingness to make our hearts your home. Help us to open them, to receive you in, and may you shape our hearts in your likeness so that we become the people you want us to be. We pray for all who are searching for purpose or for meaning in their lives, for all those who seek fulfillment in their occupation, in their families and relationships, in their volunteering and activities. We ask you to anoint our lives afresh with your Holy Spirit. And we pray that so that we might live and work to your praise and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray this morning for the nations of the world. And as we do so, we remember those from all the nations who've come to our shores seeking sanctuary and refuge. We pray for all who are arriving from Ukraine in these days. We also pray for those seeking asylum and currently living in hotel rooms from places like Eritrea and Somalia, from Ethiopia and Afghanistan, from Syria, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And we pray for all those agencies seeking to provide advice, English lessons, bicycles, welcome and hospitality, and friendship. And we pray that your church would be a sign of hope and help in this situation. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And Lord, we remember especially today all who have suffered trauma of any kind, those who have lost loved ones in war situations, those who have experienced human trafficking or abuse, violence or rape. We pray for those who've been moved about from location to location with no control over what is happening. And we ask that your presence would be near in the anxiety and the uncertainty. And we ask you to heal the physical and psychological wounds and to bring your hope. We also want to pray this morning for all known to us who are sick at home or in hospital. We pray that your healing love would enter their situation and fill whatever place they find themselves in today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to join together now to sing our next hymn, Blessed Be the Everlasting God. Thank you for sharing with us in our worship today, whether you're here in the building or whether you're watching at home. We're delighted that you were able to worship with us today. We're going to bow our heads for God's blessing as we ask Him to be with us in the week that is to come. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with Him in the newness of His risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you today and always. Amen. Our closing hymn is the hymn, Lord, Be My Guardian and My Guide.